off to the suburbs of sunny Tipton. It'll be warm in Tipton today. Congressman Tim Walberg joins us.
It's pure Michigan day here. The blue sky, the heat that we look for during the cold months, and now we have it, and grass is green, crops are starting to come up. COVID is starting to be controlled more and more. We're opening up state, plotted the governor when she was in front of us in our hearing on Tuesday for opening up some more parts of the state. While we may disagree on the pace and some parts of how it's been done, I told her, you know, we're all in this together and we're all learning together. This is the first time you've gone through it, the first time I've gone through it, the first time anybody's gone through it. So we're not going to get it all right, but in the end, I hope we have done what's necessary, but also quickly now. Let's get going again. Let's get this economy working. Let's get people back to their jobs. Let's get employers back to their businesses. And I trust that the summer months will give us a head start on what might come. And I guess I've been saying will come again in the fall and winter with the resurgence of flu and COVID and all of that. We've certainly learned a lot that ought to have us better prepared, and with stockpiles and procedures and Americans understanding that there are things we can do as well personally and in preventing the spread. So I think we're starting to feel a little bit better about what's going on. If it hadn't been for that horrific, horrific murder that took place of Mr. Floyd with four rogue officers and one especially, I think we'd be doing much better right now, of course. But I hope that in the coming hours even, that in the memorial services and in the speeches that Mr. Floyd's brother has given over and over again, I heard his first one a few days ago, mm-hmm. He said, we're a family of peace. And then this is not what my brother's name should be associated with, all of this violence and looting. And I appreciate when he said, stop it. Let's continue to demonstrate for justice. Let's make sure that the police officers are swiftly put before justice. And I think if not 100%, well, it's not 100%, but 99% of the American people all agree on this. Greg, you know I have an African son-in-law.
Yeah.
I'm very, very proud of, and I performed the wedding ceremony with my daughter and son-in-law. And
mm-hmm.
He's a prince of a guy, even though his name is Prince. And when I saw that video, and you may have had a similar reaction, you have kids and grandkids. When I saw that video, only thing I could picture in the face of Mr. Floyd, George Floyd, was my son-in-law's face and what I had felt like. And I think that's where America has to look right now. It's a tough, tough, creative tension area with the violence that's going on, senseless violence, thievery, thuggery, killing of police officers who probably agreed with the protesters and were there to defend their First Amendment liberties. But the looters and Antifa and others that may be involved are just terrible. And I think we need to look to the issue. And I know some of my colleagues and I have discussed already this week. I talked with several African-American pastors in Jackson, for instance, this past week, talking about what needs to be done, what could be done, what they feel that I don't feel, because I'm not in their shoes, but I believe my heart is with them. And so we have to find solutions, but we also have to say America has to stop this. We have to keep moving forward and use the wonderful Constitution, the justice systems that we have, and make it work.
Well, gut-wrenching 2 weeks, would you agree?
Oh. You know, I just think it's with the COVID being sheltered in place, and now that we've had a little bit of opening, I think that's going to help this weekend, especially if people will just turn on the news occasionally. Please, just turn on the news occasionally. You'll feel so much better about your life, and you'll also stop and think, we aren't this way. We're different, and most of the people we know are different, and I think you'll feel better. Take a break from it, because it can wear you down. I know I feel that way. And to turn off the cable shows and turn off the news on the hour and listen to that, but then turn it off, go about life, and enjoy what God has blessed us with.
Hang on, Tim. Just tell them to turn on the radio. That's all. Just
turn on the radio.
That's
what I meant. That's what I meant by turning on the news broadcast and not listening to the cable networks, because they're just 24 hours. They've got to fill the air with talk, and it's the same old, same old, and it just beats you down.
Yeah.
And I say that as a member of Congress who has to keep up. I can only imagine someone who feels less capable of doing anything about it and listening to that. So, yeah, turn on and listen.
Listen.
That's a wonderful Jackson radio station.
Listen. Please listen.
Yeah.
It looks like almost everything will be reopened on Monday. Not quite all, but almost everything. So we are getting there.
We're getting there. And the governor backtracked from saying, if you need a haircut, Google it, how to do it. And
yeah.
That whipped up a number of people in anger. But, you know, when you talk as much as the governor and you talk as much as I do, sometimes you're going to say something you regret saying, and you didn't mean anything negative by it. And I'll give the governor that. But I think we ought to open the barbershops and the beauty parlors. If you can do dentists and podiatrists and veterinarians and others like that are close to people, I think you can open the others. And I'm looking at some of my colleagues who aren't as fortunate as I am to have married my barber. They are looking pretty shaggy right now.
Yeah.
It's getting almost disgusting. And so it's time to get on. But I think that's going to open up soon.
Yeah.
And the fact that we read about the campgrounds, I'm a camper. So now I read that on the 22nd of June, the campgrounds will open up. That's a breath of fresh air, especially in Michigan with our tourist industry.
Mm-hmm.
And I sit here in the Irish Hills with a wonderful Walter Hayes State Park campground. It's probably the number one campground that I go to, and my wife and I, because it's so close and I can still do my work and end up in the evening at the campground. You know, those type of things are good for us. Having jobs, again, restaurants opening to some degree, though I think a lot of them aren't going to be able to make it on 25% or 50% open. That's going to have to change soon. I think the movie theaters, there has to be an opening there. My good friend Paul Glantz with Imagine Theaters, one in Saline, it's an amazing place. They've done everything possible. They could easily social distance far more than you could social distance in our big box stores or grocery stores. It'll be good to see that open. It's a shame to hear that 850 jobs are being let go from Lazy Boy plant, 300 of those in a plant in Mississippi, and other showrooms. But that's another issue that I took up with the governor a long time ago and said, listen, why can't Lazy Boy showrooms be open? When you go in a Lazy Boy showroom, there's normally no more than 10 people in there anyway. And same with car dealerships. But they will be opening now, but those are the impacts. And you see 850 people lives have been altered because of the economy and the shutdown that's gone so long. So while we look at the medical health care issues, we've got to look at the economic issues as well. Both are pandemics for not only us, but the rest of the world. And there's some countries right now you're looking at a lot of decry about how Sweden did it. But frankly, they've had no worse reaction than the countries that shut down.
But Tim, we can't be snookered into that there's no COVID-19 out there or it's going away.
No.
It's still here.
It's life, and it may be life for a long time. It may be life like the flu. It'll change each year a little bit, and we have to figure out how the vaccine, but if we get a vaccine, and there's a lot of encouragement coming out on several fields of pharmaceutical research that there will be a vaccine ready. And if not, we also have now pharmaceutical efforts to find antivirals that will make it far more manageable, even if we get it. So if they can find a cure ultimately for poison ivy, I'll appreciate that, because that's what I'm dealing with right now. Big case of poison ivy doing the gardening work that my wife got me to do. And I love her. She deserves it. But I'm suffering with that. The common cold is something we deal with every year. So I think you're absolutely right. COVID will be with us. Let's not go hog wild. Let's be responsible and smart But also, as I continue to say, and Greg, you've heard me say this numerous times, think smart, think safe, think free, and we'll all do better.
I know you asked the governor about the situation with the nursing homes here in Michigan.
It was tragic, and I'm not sure where the data and the science that she talks about came to do that, especially when she saw the impact in New York, for instance, and other states, and kept on with it. When you see a state like Florida, for instance, that didn't do that, has more seniors. We know they retire down there, and a lot from Michigan on both coasts. They didn't have the instances, the numbers of deaths that we have had. And so I asked her that. Again, it's a decision that you learn by doing, but there was earlier understanding that this was not the right thing to do, to stick COVID patients back in nursing homes. And even when we separated them in a wing, it still had the opportunity through the staff to get to the others. And it's been sad. People who haven't been able to have human contact with their loved ones now for 15, 16 weeks were cloistered in place with people with COVID, and they got it and they died. 23% of all of our deaths in Michigan came from the nursing homes. That's tragic. And so, no, I had to talk to Governor about that. I also had to talk to her about the fact of, while she's complaining, saying that we need the federal government to give more money, I mean, we don't have any. Everything we give now is printed. And for us to take on responsibility of states who may have put themselves in situations by going too long in too many areas of our economy, for instance, in Michigan, or states like Illinois who have screwed up their state for years, and we're supposed to put tax dollars toward it, we're going to have to be sold on it and explain why, and only for COVID purposes. But I said, you got out of the $3.8 billion that the feds have given you for economic relief and COVID relief right now, and there's still 3.2 approximately that you haven't spent on what we wanted you to spend on. That was the state, local, and municipal governments and the concerns that they have there. Why? And I got no good answer. And that's a concern. So before, even if I love Michigan, represent the district in Michigan, I'm going to have the governor explain to me why we're going to have to give them more money to deal with a $6.2 billion shortfall she's talking about, when there are other places they can cut. And I hope the citizens watch that, generally speaking, what administrations do, Republican or Democrat, let me be honest, when they get into a financial bind, the first things they talk about cutting are the things that are most emotionally and sensitively ordered, and that's education, transportation, and law enforcement. And so that's what's happening already, when our superintendent of public instruction, Mr. Rice, is saying, if Congress doesn't give us more money, it's going to decimate the schools. Well, why? What about shifting funds in your state budget from other areas to do the priorities, like education, which is a constitutional priority? Article 8, Section 1 of our state constitution says so. And why cut law enforcement when we've had all sorts of violence and we need law enforcement? And why cut roads? Because you said, Madam Governor, fix the damn roads. So those are things the legislature and the governor are going to have to wrestle with. But don't threaten and blackmail our citizens by simply saying, we're going to cut those things that you're drawn to most, like education. Let's find a way to keep education in other areas that we can cut back on.
Well, we hope so, because the schools are in a tenuous situation right now.
Absolutely, absolutely. But there's a lot of other tenure situations, too, that you have to contend with. And so don't just expect that because the federal government doesn't have a balanced budget requirement like the state does, that we can just print it. And if we print it for Michigan, that may have more justifiable reasons than Illinois. We're going to have to print it for Illinois, and we're going to have to print it for New York. I mean, New York City, the mayor has let that city burn down. When given opportunity to have the National Guard brought in, he spurned the offer of even his Democrat governor of doing that. And so are we supposed to be, as taxpayers of Michigan, responsible for picking up the slack in New York City? I think not. And so that'll be the battle, Greg, and it'll be ongoing. And we have to think seriously through it, and we are going to have sacrifice. We are going to have some lost revenue. We are going to have to tighten belts. But I think when you automatically go immediately to schools, a vital concern for this state, and as I said, a constitutional priority. That's hijacking and blackmail of taxpayers, and I hope our taxpayers push back on that. Say, wait a second, don't cut schools. You've got other areas that have no priority, like education or law enforcement or roads and bridges infrastructure that could be looked at. And I sat on the Appropriations Committee and chaired the General Government Subcommittee that had 9 of the 18 departments of state in it. And so I know what I'm talking about there. We were able to reduce spending in the general government area both years that I chaired that committee. And I think it can be done again. And we can. There'll probably be a haircut to some degree with education. We're all going to have some sacrifice, but don't start there. That's not the place to do it.
Just in from the Tipton International Airport, 76 degrees, Tim.
It's wonderful. I'm not complaining at all. And to be able to sit out on my deck and hear the birds chirping and people already heading toward the lakes and up north and whatever else, it sounds like Michigan, and that's how it ought to be. But let's not grow weary in being Americans, and let's not let all of the negative news that are out there dissuade us from still being proud of the place that God has blessed us to be. And
keep listening.
Keep listening and turn off the cable regularly. And if you know, if you turn it off for one solid week,
unplug that thing.
Nothing would change, and you'd feel better.
Tim, have a good weekend.
You too.
Take care.